Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn. Hey, thanks for joining us on Our Stories. This is podcast number 4 for us, which I guess officially means we're for real. Our job is to catch you up on Coastside News and hopefully do it in a slightly entertaining way. So today, you will not believe what we have on board. Two things. First, what it means for the Coastside that we are missing out on a local salmon season 3 years in a row. Holy moly. But that's story number 2. Our first story, that's the one that's hard to wrap my head around. It's a fight that's got a funny smell to it, but is super important to everyone on the Coastside. And in terms of money, it also matters. Because as we know, city government is trying to trim waste, and right now is not exactly flush. So here to talk sewer pipes and an epic battle of mudslinging is Ashton Hackey. He's a reporter for CoastSideNews.com. Ashton, welcome.
Thanks. I'm excited to talk about this.
So, dude, sorry, but no one is really excited to talk about sewer effluent. I mean, come on.
No, this is really a great story. It has actually a lot to do with money, so.
I cannot believe you got me to agree to this. So you better make it good. What is so exciting about the Coastside sewer system?
So we all care about money, and so do three agencies that are in this joint powers agreement that have to deal with our sewers.
So, sorry, joint powers, what is that?
Yeah, so in 1976, the city of Half Moon Bay, Montero Water and Sewer, and the Granada Sewer District, which are the three districts that can control sewer rates along our coast, they all came together, and one of the main things they agreed upon is based on flow rates.
Yeah, we all love flow rates.
That each group will be responsible for a certain amount of money for operations and maintenance of their sewers.
Okay, so basically, they're splitting the cost of running the three different sewer systems as one.
Yes, and they all meet these sewer systems in Half Moon Bay, actually, at a wastewater treatment plant.
That is the SAM plant.
Yes.
Which is a sewer authority.
Mid-coast, yes.
So they all combine forces so they could save money by sharing infrastructure costs. That sounds like a great idea. What could go wrong?
It was all going pretty well, but then a pipeline that goes through the coastline from the mid-coast down to that treatment plant in Half Moon Bay, it needs to be replaced. The city of Half Moon Bay argued that this was actually a capital improvements project and that ratepayers shouldn't have to pay for the expected cost of this pipeline.
So they felt they should pay their fair share of maintenance, but not for this larger capital improvement.
That's their argument, at least, yes. And that argument eventually resulted into a lawsuit.
And sorry, how long ago was this lawsuit filed?
So that was in 2017.
2017? So about 8 years ago, they filed that lawsuit. What's happened in those 8 years?
It was in court in Santa Clara. The judge ruled basically saying, sorry, Half Moon Bay, according to this joint powers agreement that you're in, you are responsible for this, and we do deem this a maintenance project.
So Half Moon Bay lost.
But like anything on the coast, they appealed it, and a judge in San Jose said, well, it's actually a little complicated of what is defined as a maintenance project or capital improvements project. So we're going to start from square one, and this can go back to court and have a trial.
So Half Moon Bay won.
That is a win for Half Moon Bay, yes.
Okay, Ashton, look, I've been with you during this whole thing. You want to talk about sewers? Hey, we're talking sewers. I do get that it's a big fight and this coming up court date is a big deal. But really tell me, what's at issue here? Why do I actually care about this?
No one wants to be on the hook for more money. And this project cost $10 million. Based off flow rates, that would put Half Moon Bay in charge of 60% of that budget. That's a lot of money. And that might result in fee increases to Half Moon Bay ratepayers.
So Half Moon Bay's share would be $6 million. $6 million, I can tell you right now, Half Moon Bay doesn't have. And on the other hand, if Montera and the El Granada Sanitary Districts lose, they'd have to split that $10 million cost 50-50, right? That's $5 million apiece. That's got to be a little out of their price range.
Yeah, and now you can see why we're in court. Yeah.
And as long as I'm speculating a little here, I would also guess that this might be a precedent, that it's not just this particular $10 million project, it's all the future projects as well.
You know, the agreement says that maintenance needs to be shared between all agencies, but if you change the definition of maintenance, this could open the grounds for further debate. And the reality of the situation is that more pipelines will need to be replaced. So yeah, this does set a possible precedent.
Okay, so I do have one more question. They've been fighting in court for 8 years over this. How much are the three agencies, and by three agencies, I mean us, how much are we paying for this court fight?
People of the Coast Side are paying for this in other ways. These lawyer costs and the cost of doing all this litigation is costing a lot of money. So a 2021 investigation by the Halfway Review revealed that all three agencies combined had spent over $700,000.
And how long ago was that investigation?
That was in 2021.
Okay, so 4 years ago, about halfway through those 8 years in court, we all spent $750,000 on lawyers. It's speculation about how much more than that it is.
Yeah, that number could almost be doubled by this point.
So if I can personally speculate here, if you're looking at a total of $1.5 million in legal fees, that's a lot of money. But I would also guess that you could see that as an investment. I mean, it's worth it if you get out of paying basically half a 10 mil, whether you're Half Moon Bay or the other two agencies.
Well, that's a logic that, you know, all three of these boards have to consider when moving through this, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ashton Hackey. Oh, wait, before you go, Montera and El Granada, they won the first round. And Half Moon Bay, they kind of won the second round. So when is the final grudge match?
Yeah, it's this July.
And then that's it?
Well, we'll have to see.
I mean, you could appeal the appeal, I guess.
We could always, there's always...
Take it to the Supreme Court.
One thing I've learned about this coast, there's always another board to appeal to, yes.
So it's all done and final, unless it's not. Well, I guess by process of elimination, we are on to story number two. Half Moon Bay, historically, is a fishing and farming town. But the fishing industry here on the coastside has taken a hit, really a series of hits. This year, the crab season was delayed and then shortened. And now comes the news that the king salmon season has been canceled for the third straight year. With us here is Catherine Wheeler, a CoastsideNews.com reporter who's covering the fishing industry on the coastside. Catherine, welcome.
Hi, David.
So can you tell me what's happening here? Chinook salmon, which we all call king salmon, that's historically been a strong source of income at the harbor. Why can't fishermen here fish for it this year?
So this year follows on the past 2 years where, because of spawning issues and a lowered population of salmon, they again canceled the commercial season. So that is having a major impact on any remaining fishers who are purely fishing salmon.
So just to be clear, you told me earlier there's a small exception in this ban for sport fishing.
Right. So this is the first year in 3 years that they're allowing some recreational fishing. It's not much. There's a limit of 7,000 salmon and about two windows right now scheduled to be open. So once the fishers across the state catch 7,000 salmon, then it's closed again.
7,000 king salmon, that seems like a lot.
It does, but when you're going out sport fishing and there's a ton of boats that are ready to go, it really adds up quickly. Well, some people say it could even happen in one day, that everyone will go out in their boats and they'll bag enough to end it there.
So not so much. I guess everyone will go out on June 7th and that could be it. It's going to be a scene. As for the commercial salmon fishers, I guess they're just out of luck altogether.
Right. So a lot of them now are turning to other industry. So they might be looking at black cod, for example. I met a woman down at the docks in Half Moon Bay who runs a sport fishing shop and said that 80% of her business has gone away now that people aren't coming in and going out and catching salmon with her. So she's really excited about the recreational fishing, but now she's selling things like Beanie Babies and Dippin' Dots to try to make more money.
Okay, so let's get to the main problem here. Despite a number of state and federal efforts to boost the Chinook salmon population, it's still not working. Why are there so few king salmon in our waters?
Right. Well, we don't know totally whether it's working or not. Salmon have a 3-year lifespan, so the efforts they put into these salmon early on, we might not see for a few years. But the real issue is the diversions happening along the Sacramento River. It goes right through the Central Valley, which is a huge agricultural area. And a lot of fishers say that so much water is being taken away that salmon just literally don't have enough water to find their way down.
Okay, so if I'm a king salmon, the first obstacle is getting up to the spawning grounds. I know there are dams in the Sacramento River Delta system. That's an obstacle. But you were saying the bigger hurdle is the river itself. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a number of things. But the river itself now is becoming so low that it's just really hard to even pass certain areas where it can be completely dried up. There's also those dams, which they're actually sometimes shuttling fish over those dams so they can make it.
You're talking about people actually physically moving the salmon.
Right, like in big tanker trucks.
Okay, so again, I'm a salmon and I make it with some serious help from U.S. Fish and Wildlife up to my spawning grounds. So then we have a river full of tiny young salmon. That's success, right?
Well, it is until they have to go back down. And going back down still offers a lot of challenges. Again, with those diversions happening, then it's really hard to make your way down. And then once you do, if you do, you make it to the ocean and there's actually not as much food there for you anymore. A lot of the small things that they eat, small fish, crustaceans, are really drying up.
Okay, so it's hard for them to get up the river. Then it's hard to get down the river. And then when they finally make it to the ocean, there's not much to eat.
That is correct.
So what happens to the fishing industry in Half Moon Bay and the coast side? It's a disastrous development, right, for fishermen?
Yeah, well, that's the big question, I think. There is some hope that folks who are focused on salmon will get some disaster relief. Right now, the 2023 disaster relief is still open for application, so we're quite delayed with that. And one fisher I spoke to said that that won't even cover half of the income she lost. So they're just waiting. Whether or not it'll be canceled for a fourth year is very much a possibility.
Okay, hold on. One more question. The whole character of Half Moon Bay and the coastside is tied to farming and fishing. That's how we see our area. So are we headed the way of Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco? Or Cannery Row in Monterey, or are we going to be like a tourist destination with a fishing theme?
That is certainly the concern, especially among folks who position themselves along the harbor to get business, like that woman I said who runs the sports tackle shop. She says she describes it as a ghost town now, so as those docks as a ghost town. So yeah, there's definitely a worry that the character now of the coast is changing.
Thank you, Catherine. That was really interesting. Upsetting and a little scary, but yeah, really interesting. And you've guessed it. Boom, that was podcast number 4. Thank you for listening. I always love talking about the news. We do have some thank yous here. Thanks, of course, to reporters Ashton Hackey and Catherine Wheeler for sharing their CoastSideNews.com stories, and to editors Peter Tarkovsky and Emma Spate for their help and expertise. Thanks to KHMB Radio, station manager Jim Henderson, and engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks to Peter Finch and the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement for supporting us. Thanks also to the Coastside Chamber.